Well, I welcome you back to the ABCs of Christian Growth. This is Brother Thurman, I hope you've been having a wonderful day. I hope that you've been walking uprightly, like the Bible tells us that we are children of light. Walk as children of light, and I know you have. Thank you for joining back with us today. We're going to go back and probably going to finish up this lesson that we've been studying of the letter Y for yearning. We have been looking at affections and what the Bible has to say about affections under the title of yearning, of yearnings. Now, we've studied quite a bit and found out a whole lot about our affections, haven't we? Just to do a little recapping, and that our yearning, the definition of yearning is to long for something, to desire it greatly and incessantly, without interruption. It stays in your heart. It's in your treasure chest. It's something that you think about often, and it's just a desire in there. To be filled with compassion, it says, the desire to desire strongly or persistently, to desire it, something that you want. An affection is something that you desire after. You languish after it. You long for it. You pant for it. You pine for it. And the Yankees say you yin for it. I guess that's how you say it. But one of the last, or one of the other definitions for it is to have an affection for. Have an affection for it. Now, an affection is, it says, a feeling, a fondness, a tenderness. We know what affections are. Warm-heartedness, these are the good sides of affection. Emotional feelings or cognitive, like thinking and learning and reasoning, impact upon you. The heart. Something that affects you, your affections. We talked about that. We looked into the scriptures. We've been looking at quite a few scriptures, and we should, because that's why we're here, right? Jesus said, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." There will your heart be also. And then the Bible says in Proverbs, it says, Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Everything stems from your heart. Everything filters through that heart. It filters through the heart. The things that you throw out, the evil affections, the good affections, the yearnings, all of these things filter through that heart. And we went on down through there, and we took on the first part of it, and we started finding out what kinds. We looked at what kinds of yearnings that the Bible gives us examples, and the Lord says that the Old Testament was written for an example for us that we can learn from, and we looked at all kinds of affections. And just to mention a few of those, the kinds of affections that we looked at and read the scriptures and seen, and we understand that the Bible teaches us that there are natural affections, there are paternal affections and maternal affections and fraternal affections that shows us in the scriptures where we see where the Lord has chosen to put that down in His Word for us. There's filial affections in the Bible, national affections, being affectionate to about your nation. There's racial affections, loving your own people. There's affections for your wife. There's affections for your husband. There are affections in the body of Christ, being affectionate to one another, and caring about one another, and having feelings for one another, and being one in heart and mind, the Scripture says. And there's heavenly affections, and the Bible teaches us to look, to be careful for nothing, to give thanks to the Lord, and to set our affections on things above, on things above. So we see the Bible's not doesn't hold back or isn't ashamed about affections or is something that's a mystery in the Scriptures concerning affections. The Lord knows we have affections. He's the one that made us. And we went on into the first category. We really only had two categories that we're looking at. What are some good characteristics of yearnings, and what are some evil characteristics of learning? When we went through the good ones, we found out that good characteristics, they are intensely loyal. Good characteristics can be intensely loyal. And we thought about that and studied that and applied it to ourselves. And I hope that we've made some corrections concerning loyalty, or either that the Lord praised you for being loyal. And I know that you are, because you're here. You're a loyal person because you're staying faithful to God's word. We found that affections can be memorable. Can be memorable. Good affections can be memorable. And they can. And that's what we want, is a lot of memories that give us good affections. Every time we think of them, it's just good. It's good. And we see that I've got some things in my life that the Lord has done for me, and some people have said things to me in one sentence. You ever had somebody walk up to you and say something to you that is so nice and so good that it just shocks you and you remember it for the rest of your life? I mean, that is something. I'm not talking about everyday stuff, but that somebody says something and you know that it's from the Lord and it just hits home, man. It goes straight to the middle of your treasure chest and just stays in there. And every time you think of it, you just have good memories of that affection. And the Lord has been very kind to me, and there are some things that the Lord has done for me concerning my affections, and what I needed and did not deserve, that He provided for me just because He loved me and showed me He was affectionate Himself. And I will never forget Him for that. I remind myself constantly what the Lord has done for me, and remember those good, memorable affections. And so should you. We need to remember those things on purpose and just stop and be still and run back over our memories, the good memories, and the affections that were involved in it. Natural affections. Good affections can are natural and can be natural. Good affections can be tested and tried, and the Lord's going to test us. I mean, He's going to check us to see if we mean business with Him. And you know, the Lord could make robots if He wanted to. He could just speak the word, and every one of us would just walk around and be exactly like He wanted. But that's not the way the Lord is. The Lord made us all individuals, gave us all a free will. Your will is a free agent. You can do anything you want, decide anything you want. You can decide to go to hell if you want to. Now, if you're already saved, you can't. You're locked in and you can't. I don't know why anybody would choose to go to hell after they're born again, but people do decide. I mean, everything has been done for salvation, and the only way people go to hell is by choice now, because they have to deny the Lord Jesus Christ. They're on their way, and the only way that they can be saved is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that choice approaches them, they decide, and it's their will is a free agent. And it's completely theirs. The Lord doesn't intervene with it. He made everything possible. He calls them. He gives them the faith to believe. And right then they make a choice, whether to accept or deny, whether to believe or not believe. Good affections can be emotional. And I'm glad the Lord gave us emotions. I read a book a long time ago about emotions. Can you trust them? And when they're righteous and they are good affections and they're scriptural and they're affiliated with a Christian that is devoted to the Lord, yes. Yes, I'm glad he gave us good emotions, aren't you? What a miserable existence it would be without having some kind of emotions, you know? Good affections can be grateful and should be grateful. Yes, grateful. Gratitude. Let everybody else do what they want to and behave like they want to and to be monsters if they want to be monsters and be human beings walking around with absolutely numb and can't feel anything. They've been seared with a hot iron and they can't feel anymore. If that's the way they want to be that way, but not us. Not us. I want to feel grateful. I want to be grateful. I love my life when I'm grateful and I'm thankful. Don't you? Yes. We are to be grateful, and good affections can be grateful, and they can be pleasing to us and make us better people when we're grateful, no matter what anybody says. Like I was telling you the other day about them two boys that was in McDonald's, and their grandpa bought them a milkshake, and they come back over there sucking on it, and their daddy told them, "What do you say to your grandpa?" And they say, "We don't say nothing. He will say thank you. He ought to be telling us thank you." And they never did say thank you. Never did. I'm going to get up and wrap that milkshake around his neck and say thank you right now, boy. But they probably wouldn't have been very grateful for my intervention. But anyway, good affections can be grateful, and they are. Good affections can be joyous. Joyous. Yes, joyous. And then we found out that good affections can and should be Christ-centered. We being Christians and studying the Lord's Word, this absolutely has nothing to do with the devil and his business and his ways, or the world and its ways, or the flesh and its ways. Now, we do study those individually, but as far as we as a people and we as the bride of Christ, we have nothing to do with them. Christ is the center of our business. He's the center of our study. He's the center of God's Word. He's the center of our hearts. He's the center of our treasure chest. Amen. Good affections should and can be Christ-centered, and they should be Christ-centered. And then I think it was the last lesson we went on. We began that new part, the second half of our study of this yearnings and affections. What are some evil characteristics of yearnings, of our affections? Evil characteristics. Well, first thing we've seen is that they can be unnatural. Unnatural. And if you are a sinner and you've been born again, then your prior existence before you were born again and before you were enlightened, before the Lord regenerated you, before you were born again, you knew some unnatural affections. You were affiliated with some unnatural affections, things that are not natural. Are not natural. And the world is moving wide open toward that kind of existence. This world is going to be so deceitful in the near future, so deceitful that you won't even be able to recognize it. Man, they're talking about robot. Let me tell you something. I got an article that I keep articles of some of this clownism, some of this, I don't read the news, but when I pass by it and I happen to see something, like for instance, you know, the Pope and what science is up to and blabbity, blabbity, blab and all that stuff, but, they just announced, or not just, I don't know when it was, but I got an article on it that they just gave the first robot, artificial intelligence robot, they just gave the first robot their United States citizenship. There is a robot that is a citizen of the United States and has just as many rights as you do. What? Do what? A robot? Yeah. You tell me where society, and there's people that are proud of it and hoorah on it. Talk about deceit. Talk about not being in reality. Talk about unnatural. Evil affections can be unnatural. Can be unnatural. So you be careful when you're walking down the street not say nothing ugly to no robot. Your life will take you to court or get you on another prescription. And them robots hang around and be citizens for a little while. They're going to need some prescriptions, ain't they? There's another robot that it's supposed to be a female, I guess. I don't know. It's got a female name, and she's announced that she wants to have baby robots. Yeah. And that's news, man. That's news. And no ears are coming up for that. No flag, no protest, no nothing. No saying, what is this craziness that's going on? Robots? Citizenship? Having babies? Baby robots? Artificial intelligence. This thing's gearing up for the Antichrist, I'm telling you. Yes, it is. Evil affections can be pretended. We talked about that. They can be pretended. Brothers and sisters, one thing that we do not need to be now, especially in this time and this era that we're living in, this dispensation coming to an end pretty soon, that we're living in before the Lord Jesus Christ comes and gets us, is not to be fakes. To be just as honest and truthful and about the truth and living the truth and understanding the truth and indulging in the truth, just burying ourselves in the truth and saturating ourselves with the truth. Because, like I said, if you don't pick what you believe, somebody else is going to give you something to believe. If you don't choose the truth, you have to accept a lie. Yeah. You choose what you believe. Because you can be deceived in choosing the wrong thing. I mean, it's going to be your choice to be deceived, too. Evil affections can be pretended. Evil affections can be fleshly. We talked about that. Can be fleshly. And the Bible and the Lord, that was one subject that the Lord spoke out of his own mouth on purpose and said, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Evil affections, anything that this flesh wants to come up with and wants to try to pull you down and hold you and keep you from being spiritual, is evil. And any affections that your flesh wants to be involved in are evil unless they line up with the Word of God, like the marriage bed and other things that line up that have to do with the flesh. We have to be in the body. We're in the body until the Lord says different. And the body, there's no good thing in it. We battle with it every day. But we can, by God the Holy Ghost, walk in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, walk in the Spirit, and we can keep this flesh under control. And we can use this body, which is the temple of the Holy Ghost, we can use it to glorify God. Yes. Yes. But as far as fleshy, it's evil affections. If you give the flesh the choice, if you make the flesh obey and walk in the Spirit, you can glorify God with that temple. But if you give the flesh the choice and the flesh the upper hand, you're going to have evil affections coming from that flesh. That flesh is never going to give you anything spiritual, and it's never going to lead you to be spiritual. These people up there doing the bumps and the grinds in the name of Christianity is just as wicked looking as somebody, as a hooker up there dancing. Yeah. And the affections that come off of it. And how we use affections. Evil affections can be worldly. Can be worldly. Yes. They sure can. The world is all about provoking affections toward things. All about it. The news media, all the news media is trying to move your affections in directions that they want, and that television is always trying to give you a program you to be affectionate toward things, or get up and go buy something and be affectionate, and you ought to be this and you ought to be that, and control your affections. Yeah. Evil affections can be worldly, and I think that's where we stopped last time. So let's move on. We have a few more here that we want to talk about. Evil affections can not only be all the things that we spoke in the past, but they can also be defiling and be degrading. Yeah. Evil affections can be defiling and be degrading. Let me read you something in 2 Peter, and let's get on into God's Word and find out what He has to say about things. But talking about evil affections, not good affections, evil affections, that they can be defiling and they can be degrading. They can defile you and they can degrade you. Listen to this. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily means privately, secretly, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Now see there, the affections have turned around by these deceivers and teachers that bring in damnable heresies and teach things that they ought not be teaching. That's why it's so, so important for you to be in that book and knowing what God's Word says. Because the Lord told us right there in Peter that they're coming. And they're going to sneak in and they're going to be conniving and teach false stuff that's evil, whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah and Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them with an overflow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They're not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beast, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceiving while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, a heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. He's not speaking very good of these people, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozer, who loved the wages of righteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass, speaking with man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom is the midst of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great, swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantingness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. They drag them back into it. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. You ever heard of that? For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire, defiling and degrading. Evil affections can be defiling and degrading. Defile means to make unclean, to dishonor or tarnish. Like a reputation or character or integrity. To degrade something means to reduce the grade or the rank of it, deprive of office or a dignity, disgrace, shame, corrupt. That's why the Lord says we're children of light, walk as children of light. The Lord is very concerned about us as our Heavenly Father down here misbehaving and walking like we have not been saved and we've not been washed in Jesus' blood. And the Lord takes His fatherhood seriously. But talking about these evil affections, they can be defiling and grating. If you allow evil affections, brothers and sisters, to exist in your heart and don't try to purge them and get them out and step on their neck and not let them have any kind of priority in your mind and in your heart, if you let them just run them up, they're going to defile you, they're going to degrade you, and they're going to tear your testimony all to pieces. How many times have you heard of somebody that is respected and thought of as clean and upstanding doing or being involved in something we would have never guessed? Then because of the incident, the person's image becomes ugly. And even with repentance and forgiveness, they can never be what they once were or recover their identity they once had. Defilement and degradation is entered in through evil affections. Preachers committing adultery in great big churches, been lots of them lately. Not lots, but some that there's been some. Things like that. Evil affections. That's what it is. 2 Peter 2 teaches us that there's going to be false teachers that are going to come to us and turn us away from the truth, or try to turn us away from the truth. And they're going to use evil affections to do it. Oh, that's all right. Oh, this is all right. Oh, well, that's old school. That's the old stuff. You know, that's... Now, there's two different kinds of people. The godly and the unjust, or in the New Testament sense, the saved and the lost. Now, you're going to notice that in the Scriptures that the Lord judged the angels. He judged the entire population of the world with Noah and his family, except Noah and his family. He judged the entire population of the world except Noah and his family. And then he judged Sodom and Gomorrah with several other wicked cities, except Lot and his family. The Bible says the Lord knoweth how to deliver the righteous out of temptation and to reserve the ungodly unto the day of wrath, to be punished. We're indeed blessed above imagination with the grace and mercy of the Lord, and that the Lord has shown to us and been merciful to us. Isn't that right? And shown to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you're saved, you're eternally saved when it comes to God's final judgment of your sin. You're not going to end up in God's courtroom having to do with heaven and hell. But you are going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ, where just the body of Christ is going to be judged for what you did in the body and how you behaved in the body after you were born again, and what you used your body for, and the affections are going to have a big part of that. Don't be deceived into thinking that it's all right for you to mingle your affections with the world and the ungodly. Lot did it. Lot was, look what the Scriptures say about his affections. Remember, it says about Lot, it said, and delivered just Lot. He said, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that should live ungodly. And delivered just Lot. Now listen to what it says about his affection. Vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man, God called him righteous, dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, watching them every day and hearing what they had to say every day and everything about that and living among them, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. His affections were affected by being around it. Evil affections can be defiling and degrading. Yes, they can. We know that. Playing around with evil affections can defile and degrade a saved man just as it does an unsaved man. Don't be fooled. Stay away. Stay far away. First Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 7 says, "For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness." But unto holiness. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, the Bible says, "For as much as ye know, ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot." The Lord made a big payment for us. A big payment. A perfect payment. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17 says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." Which temple ye are. God can and does get fed up with his children. I mean, there is such thing as last chance, enough, as far as being in the body and being down here as an ambassador for Christ. Being down here walking among the lost and the world and shaming the Lord. God does, and he does, he can and does get fed up with it. With the saved playing around with filthy affections, and will kill you and take you home. If you make him, he takes his fatherhood seriously. Or beat you to death one. The Lord give you a whooping. But evil affections can be defiling and degrading. So what do, brother? Well, we get rid of them. We put them away. "I beseech ye, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." That's exactly what you're doing right this very second. Renewing your mind. Renewing your thinking. God bless you for that. That's not all. Evil affections can be degrading and defiling, but they can also be, evil affections can be instigated. Instigated. You say, what? Yeah. Acts chapter 14, verse 2 says, "But the unbelieving Jews..." Now, this is during Acts when the Apostle Paul was bringing in the New Covenant, the New Testament, and everything was changing over, and this is changing over from the law and going through the process of the transition in Acts. And right about this chapter right here is when everybody starts finding out that the gospel, that it's the gospel of the grace of God, salvation by grace through faith. And that's it. No baptism, no this, no that, no nothing, just salvation by grace through believing in Jesus Christ, believing in Jesus' name. Acts 14:2, these Jews are stirred up by Paul's preaching, and look what it says. "But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren." The unbelieving Jews, Paul was preaching, and the unbelieving Jews, some of these Jews followed him all over the place, just trying to stir everybody up and get them to kill him, you know, get rid of him, because they hated God so much. Now, these are unbelieving Jews. They stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds, listen to this, the Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds, whose minds? The Gentiles' minds, evil affected against the brethren. The saved. the early church, stirred up their minds and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Look it up. Acts chapter 14, verse 2. Evil affections can be instigated. We've got to be careful what we say out of our mouths. And be careful what we say about the brethren and what we speak. The Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. What's that verse saying? It's saying, Christian, brother in Christ, sister in Christ, whenever you speak, let the words that you're speaking edify people. And not only edify them, but edify them to the point to where they receive grace by listening to you talk. And they receive so much grace that they can't wait to hear what you got to say again. Evil affections can be instigated. You see why we shouldn't have evil affections in our life? Evil affections. And some people, like we was talking about 1 Peter a while ago, that they're going to come in and they're going to teach. And they're going to teach damnable heresies. And they're going to stir up people's minds against the truth. Yeah. They're instigators. They're instigators of evil affections. And that's not all. Not only can evil affections be instigated, but lastly, evil affections can be agonizing, especially in hell. Now, that doesn't apply to born-again children of God in this dispensation, because we're going to heaven no matter what. We don't have to worry about hell. Forget about hell, with exception of having a burden for the lost that are headed there. But as far as you personally, forget it. The Lord's taking care of it. He's taking your sins away. There's no way that you have anything to do with hell ever again. That's what the Bible says. In Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 22, the Bible says, there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. Evil affections can be agonizing, especially in hell, but agonizing. What's agonizing mean? It means extremely painful, intense feelings or suffering. You're suffering from your affections. You're suffering your feelings, suffering from your affections and your feelings, your yearnings. There's a lot of Christians that are involved in that, you know? Especially today, there's a whole bunch of stuff they're trying to explain in the psychology department, giving pills out for affections and feelings. But no more of that God stuff. There's too much God. I've watched the Word of God do what psychology and pills cannot do, brothers and sisters. I've seen that with my own eyes. God's Word is alive. And it heals. And it takes away bad things and generates good affections. Intense feelings of suffering, acute mental and physical pain, a state of acute pain, talking about affections. They can be agonizing, especially in hell. You think about the lost people that you're praying for. If they don't get saved, they're going to go to hell, and their affections are going to agonize them for all eternity. I think it was Spurgeon, Brother Spurgeon, that said when people get to hell, they have signs all around hell that are hanging everywhere that say forever, 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 forever. There's another one that said, another person that said this sign that's, I think they had this over one of the death camps of where they were killing the Jews. I'm not sure, but I think I read that somewhere. But it says over hell, yea, all that enter here abandon all hope. Evil affections can be agonizing. James chapter 1 and verse 14 through 16 says, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. There's many affections that can be agonizing. Ask any drug user, drunkard, fornicator, people that are living a lie, thieves, whores, or a Christian living in the world trying to enjoy the sin. Sin is agonizing. The Bible says sin is good for a season. For a season. Sin always looks attractive and come wrapped in pretty packages. But inside the package is death. The scriptures say that Moses had all the pleasures of sin he could want at his fingertips in Egypt, but chose to suffer with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That's what the Bible says. He made a choice of his own. Not only is sin agonizing, but the memories that we accumulate in life from catering to evil affections and yearnings. You wonder why people blow their brains out and hang themselves and jump off of bridges and jump out in the front of trains. It's from memories of evil yearnings that they can no longer live with. And rather than come to Jesus Christ for forgiveness, they kill themselves and think that it's going to end it. But it doesn't. The scriptures in Luke chapter 16 show us a warning from the Lord Jesus Christ himself not to die and go into eternity unprepared. A man is a fool not to prepare for eternity. We see the rich man in hell being in torments. Plural. He's being punished and will be there forever. Everything about his existence now is agonizing. God does and will punish sin. Somebody is going to pay for every single sin. And if Jesus has not paid for yours, you ought to bow your head and tell Jesus that you want to accept him as your Savior right now, right here, right now, and that you believe that he died, was buried, and rose again, and you want to accept him as your Savior and get your sins paid for. You say, well, I just don't think. Well, there you go. You don't think. You don't believe. The Bible says you have those that come unto God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The Bible says, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? So if you won't call on him, you don't believe it. And then it says those that... For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. we're talking about evil affections. Evil affections can be agonizing. Agonizing. And brothers and sisters, if you're holding on to some sins and holding on to things that you know that are agonizing you, and you're born again and you know what you need to do, you need to get with the Lord, tell the truth, confess that thing to Him, get it under the blood, and the Lord will forgive it. He'll take away the guilt. He'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and you can put it behind you and get going for the Lord. But you're never going to hide anything from the Lord, and you're never going to participate in sin and enjoy it as a Christian. Even the unsaved, and whenever you were not saved, before you were born again, you didn't enjoy it, but just for a season. Sin always ends in agony. Second Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8 and 9, the Bible says, "In flaming fire taken vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." What's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? The death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." That's right now, right this very second. Right now. "And flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished." This is not going to be something that... This is God is going to punish. "Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction." Continually destroyed, 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 but not annihilated. With everlasting destruction. They're going to be it's like being put in the position of being destructed, but it never coming to an end. Everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." This is not something that people need to ignore if they're unsaved, and definitely not something for a Christian to ignore when it comes to this yearning and affections that we're studying. Your yearnings and the affections that are in you and in your heart, and the things that you're allowing yourself, if they're good, magnify them. Let them grow. If they're evil, discard them. Get rid of them. Do whatever it takes. But what you're doing right now, putting the Word of God and listening to the Word of God and studying God's Word and finding out what is so and what is not so, will purge those things out of you. As long as you continue in it. God's Word will cleanse you. If you'll stay in it. If you get out of it, then you have to accept the lie. We can't manipulate or fool the Lord with our intentions. If we try, He's going to answer us according to and with the iniquity of our affections, of our yearnings, and let us kill ourselves with our deceitfulness. A lot of times when we try to trick the Lord and deceive the Lord will give you exactly what you desire and watch you destroy yourself. We're going to be the fools, not the Lord or His Word. The Bible says, draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. That's good stuff, isn't it? And it's easy. All you got to do is just change your mind. Lord, I'm sorry. I confess this to you. And confess it like you ain't never confessed it before. Exact. Don't make anything up. Say it exact. I did this. I chose to do this. I done it just exactly like this, Lord. And I'm sorry that I did it. And I confess it to you. And I want to be cleansed of it. And I don't want to ever have anything to do with that again. I repent and turn from it. And you watch what God's Word will do for you and what the Lord will do for you. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Let me read you one more thing here. Ezekiel chapter 14, Ezekiel chapter 14, and we know what this scripture is about. And just the first 8 verses, let me read it to you. Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me, and sat before me, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart, and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired at all by them? Therefore speak unto them and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God, Repent, and turn yourselves from your idols, and turn away your faces from all your abominations. For every one of the house of Israel or of the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separateth himself from me and setteth up his idols in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. And I will set my face against that man and will make him a sign and a proverb. And I will cut him off from the midst of my people, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And if the prophet be deceived when he hath spoken a thing, I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet. And I will stretch out my hand upon him and will destroy him from the midst of my people Israel. You see, if you want to play with God, and I know you don't, but people that want to play around with God like he's a toy, like he can be controlled and manipulated, the Lord will do things to you and in front of everybody right out in the middle of the open. And he said he'll meet you face to face. He's not hiding around no corner, and he's not going to be tricky and this, that, and the other. He's going to let you destroy yourself. And that's not us. That's not what we want. We want our affections, good affections, and we want our Lord to be pleased, and we want to walk pleasing before our God. And make him smile. We want to love him because we love him on purpose. Not because we have to, but because we want to love him. And we do love him, genuinely love him. And I do, don't you? So we're going to search his word. We're going to find out what his mind is. Find out what his mind is concerning us on these topics that we're going over in the ABCs of Christian Grove. And adjust ourselves accordingly to be pleasing to the Lord and ask for help where we need help, which in my case is every subject from A to Z. Isn't our God wonderful? He's beautiful, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Don't be scared of coming to the Lord with a problem. Come to Him with it. Explain it to Him. Tell Him exactly what you think, what you feel, what your desires are, what you want to do, what you want to happen. And then tell Him that I want to search in Your Word. I want You to show me in Your Word what I need to do to fix this thing. And He'll do it every time. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Little ears, what you hear. Little tongue, what you say. Little hands, what you touch. And little feet, where you go. Amen. All right, that winds up our study of the letter Y, yearning, and our affections. Praise the Lord. Well, thank you for joining, and I hope that you've been blessed by this lesson. And unless I tuck one in between this Y and Z, we'll go into Z on our next one, which is for the topic of Zion, your eternal home. Your eternal home. And we'll talk more about that on the next one. So pray that you've been blessed. I've been blessed studying with you, and I admire you. And I pray that you'll be faithful and consistent in studying God's Word, no matter whether it be here or anywhere, and just find out the truth. And get in that King James Bible and find out what the truth is and what God says about things. And if you want to keep on here, we'll just keep on here doing this. I'm going to. And I know that that you're going to be faithful to the Lord. So the Lord bless you. And I've enjoyed studying the letter Y with you. Let's take care of our affections and watch out. Watch out. And anything that we need to come before our Lord with, go straight to Him, get on your knees, tell Him the truth, and the Lord will fix that thing for you. He will. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Bye-bye.